Love big, and so I thank you for the honor that I get to love you. It is an honor. Thank you. Amen. Let's pray, or I'm going to go on the floor, splat here. Father, we come to you this morning again and again and again, and our eyes and our life and our heart and all that we are, we just look to you. We thank you that we get to gather together to worship you, to give you praise, to look into your eyes. We just thank you. We get to do that corporately today. You know, I could stay home and sit on my sofa, but God, you said gather together. And so, God, we've come to gather together and worship you. And we also come to grow in knowing you. So our ears are open, our hearts open, we just clear our brain, we say we're open, and Father, I thank you, because we come asking that we will receive today to know you better, and then, Father, how to do this life as we go. We thank you for this. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that is so powerful, so powerful. It's earth-shaking powerful, and it's people shaken powerful. And we say, Lord, we give you permission to shake us today with the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at someone and say, you're going to get shaked. You're going to get shaked. Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles. If you need a Bible, we've got extras in the back. As a matter of fact, I think I might have to order some more. We have extra Bibles. If you want to look on the word, look on the word, okay? If you have a Bible app, I finally stopped yelling at kids for having their cell phones because I found out you can have a Bible app, but no Facebook, all right? Look at the Bible app, all right? I just heard that the other day. Like, really? You did what? Okay, so open up your word. We're at 2 Peter. Did I say 2 Peter? We've been doing a series called Building a Better You. And every week I ask this question. I ask these questions. How many of you would like to build a better you? All right. How many of you believe you need to build a better you? So we'd all agree we need to build better us, build better me. All right. So this is what the series is about. And I could almost say it's like a discipleship series. Okay, go look that word up. Not now. Don't press that button. Google, all right? But it's a discipleship course sort of series that we're doing. And it's about how to build a better you. So, 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, which means hurry up, quickly do this, add or keep adding to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. And then the next verses, 8, 9, and 10, are the results of doing those things. Okay? So verse 8, but if these things are yours, and by the way, they are yours, they're in you, and they abound, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he is cleansed from his old sins. And verse 10 is the promise. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent, quickly do, to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will neither stumble. And we found out 1 week it said fall. Okay, so praise God, we're going to build a better you. We're starting on godliness. Okay, today, so if you're taking notes, we're going to talk about godliness. Now, most people are like, oh, that doesn't sound like a bowl of fun, Pastor D. It's the word, okay, it's the word. And most of us don't even know what the word godliness is. So you know what we do these days? We whip out our phone and we Google, what is godliness? Now, better yet, whip out your phone, hit Google, and ask it this. Godliness is next to, cleanliness is next to godliness. Go whip that one out. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Any of you ever do that? Well, I did. And you know what it said? It ain't in there. It's not in the Bible. Yeah, I know. I thought that was the gospel truth. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, listen, God loves dirty people and he loves clean people. Yep. And it doesn't matter if you came to church all dutied up, looking nice, or you came in, you rolled out in bed, and those are your pajama bottoms. I love when I see kids doing that. Okay. He doesn't care if you stink and you got dirty clothes. God is always and only interested in the heart, the inside of you. God's looking at the inside of you. He really doesn't care what you wear. Okay, now I'm the mama. I might tell you, pull that up, pull that down, okay? But God's looking at the inside of you, all right? So what does this word godliness mean? Okay, it obviously doesn't mean you have to be clean. So, but what does this word mean? Now, how many of you read the Apostle Paul? He's talking to Timothy, this young pastor, and he said this: you need to exercise godliness. Anybody ever read that before? Bodily exercise profiteth little. You need to exercise godliness. So I still don't know what it means, but I found out as I'm looking at it, it means you need to work. You need to do something. You need to work at it. There's a work to do in godliness. So we're going to talk about what the work is. Better yet, we're just going to talk about it, all right? So if I could give you the first definition, if you're taking notes, all right, taking notes, Carol's going to pop some of these on the screen for me. Actually, this is my research notes. I'm going to give you the long version, and then I'm finally going to give you this little short thing. So you don't have to, you know, write these down. First one, godliness means to worship well, to be very devout. Anybody still get it? No. So I had to keep going. Second definition, this is from E.W. Vine's Expository Dictionary. I keep one under my sofa because that's where I do half my work, and I pull it out. I'm not under my sofa, but I yank it out and I do my work on my sofa. And Vine says, to be devout, that which denotes piety and reverence, characterized by a God-word attitude. Okay, anybody getting a little bit more? What's godliness? Number three, character and conduct determined by the principles of love or the fear of God in the heart. We're going to talk about that. And this other one, let me back up. Character number two, E.W. Vines at the very bottom, characterized by a Godward attitude, does that which is pleasing to God. So that's the definition we're going to use in a minute, but let me give you the last one. Godliness is pious, reverent conduct with a desire to please God. So I've said this thing a couple of times, if you noticed, a desire to please God. A desire to please God. So if I had to give a definition and I put all those together, godliness is an inward desire to please God. Godliness, so write that down. Godliness is an inward desire to please God. Now, if you're here today and you say, I don't even know God, Pastor D, I am far from God. Or you might say, I'm just kind of seeking, I'm not even sure, I really don't know God. Well, I want to encourage you. The one thing that you can do to please God, if you're one of those that you don't even know God, you're far from God, The one thing you can do, is get to a place in your life where you say, God, I want you. Where you run and you go, God, I need you. Jesus, I need you in my life. That's the one thing you can do that, hands down, pleases God. Jesus, I need you in my life. So I did that about 39 years ago. It's coming up 40 years ago. And people, I was in college, doing the college scene without Jesus. And when I asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life, man, first thing, persecution, bam, bam. And the one thing I heard over and over, you did that because you need a crutch in your life. Well, there were some circumstances that hit my life that summer that triggered all this. Is I have a twin brother, and he was killed in an auto accident. And you know, well, you just need a crutch because you're just pitiful right now and your life's a mess. Nope, I found out I didn't need a crutch. I found out Jesus was not my crutch. Jesus, by the way, when you ask Jesus into your life, it's not a religion. It's not joining a church. I'm not going to say join YCF. It's a relationship. How many have had that relationship? Yep, it's a relationship. And I hope that you get to the place where you go, I need Jesus. I need a relationship. And you know, when you get to that point, he will absolutely change everything in your life. I hung out with an old college friend who knew me. Well, we did all the stuff together. And I hung out with her just several months ago, and she goes, "Man, you're really different." Yes, I've been totally changed, and that change is still working. I'm still changing too. So, praise God. Now, before we get into godliness, and our godliness, our definition, everybody, is an inward desire to please Him. Okay, you're gonna know that when you walk out of here. But before we get into that, prior to that, when we started with these scriptures, we read things that you add to your life. We adding to our faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, and patience. Okay, now those first four things that Peter starts throwing at us, they cause something. They cause something. When we start adding them in our life, or really stirring them up in our life, they cause something. They cause you to bear fruit. Okay, I'm the tree, I'm bearing fruit. Those four things will start causing you to bear fruit in your life for Jesus. Because you're a follower of Jesus, they're going to cause things in your life. They'll cause you to bear fruit. Now, getting down to the last three, Peter, all of a sudden, he's talking about how to bear fruit. These things will cause you to bear fruit. He totally, all of a sudden, shifts gears on the next three things. Now, look at your Bible, what the next three things are. Starting, okay, the last one in 7. Godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. You see those next three things? Peter just totally shifts gears. And what happens with those three things? Godliness, brotherly kindness, yours might say charity and love. They have to deal with relationship. They have to deal with relationship. All right? Now, to make it really simple, this is the way I break them down, because I'm all about the simple. Godliness, and we said, deals with your relationship with God. So if you're writing notes, godliness deals with your relationship with God. Okay, what was the next thing that's underneath that? I'm making you look at your Bibles. What comes after godliness? Brotherly kindness. That has to do with your relationship with you folk. It says brotherly kindness, so it has to do with those that are in the body of Christ, believers, the church. So brotherly kindness has to do with your relationship. If you've got a believing wife, you're a believing wife, okay? The church folk, okay? Now, how many of you know we can really have some problems doing relationship with folks, don't we? How many of you got to church and had a little problem doing relationship with the folk in the car? It used to seem like we get in the car and, okay. So this is going to be a good one. We're not going to talk about this one. Brotherly kindness, doing relationship with the folk in the body, all right? And the last one. The last one's called what? Love. Okay, love has to do with our relationship with people that are outside of the body. People who you're going to go see that don't know Jesus at all. How do you do relationship with them? How do you treat them? Don't answer that yet, okay? Throw them under the bus. No. So we've got Peter who's writing this, and he changes total direction, and he's talking about relationship. So today, the other ones we'll get to later. Today we're going to talk about how you do your relationship with God. Now, you either have a relationship with God right now, or you're someday, in Jesus' name, you're going to. And maybe somebody drug you here today. Mama made you come. Your family member made you come here. And you're like, oh, man. And you don't have a relationship, all right? But I'm believing, and Mama who brought you here, is believing that someday you're going to have this relationship. And you're going to go, Mama, you don't have to drag me no more. I'm coming because on my own I want to come. I'm coming because I want my own relationship with Him. And that's what happens when you ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. You then have a relationship with Him. All right? Hallelujah. All right. So what's our definition for godliness? An inward desire to please God, to please Him. All right? Now, so godliness is going to deal with building a relationship, our building a relationship with Him. And it all starts here. I love little kids. They go, give me the heart. Okay? It all starts here. It's going to start in your heart. All right? Now, how many of you know God really starts with the heart? He does. Thank goodness. Man, thank goodness. So, how many of you have ever done something that you were really ashamed of? How many of you have ever done one thing that was not good? Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, we'll talk to you later. We'll have you up front. Okay? Listen, every one of us has done something, or something's plural, all right, that we're wrong, and we're like, oh my God. All right. But listen, this is how God works. God's looking at the heart. All right. Now, some of you have had some good teaching, and if you don't hang with me to the second and third part, you're going to go, Pastor D, you got that all wrong. But listen, I want to say God starts and He looks at your heart. He's looking at the inward. He's looking at the inward first. So, matter of fact, He looks at the inward, your heart, on everything He does with you, all righty? So how many of you have done some things where, you know, you've embarrassed, you're sad, you're going, oh my gosh, I wish I hadn't done that. But the great thing about this Father God we had, He's looking at your heart, okay? Now, you might be in the middle of doing something, or you might have just finished doing something, all right? But, can everybody say but, in the middle of that, you're going, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I know. And, you know, that's the lovely, lovely, wonderful thing about God. That's what He's looking at. He's not looking at my sin. Now, listen, He's not blind and stupid. He sees that. But when you're in the middle of doing, okay, and you've messed up, you've sinned, you've just let, okay, God, and you go, God, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. I'm so sorry. He's looking at your heart. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, come on, just get real quiet for a second. Just close your eyes. God, you look at my heart. You're the most wonderful Father God. You always look at my heart. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Man, I want to go, okay. Now, so we know first, God always looks at the heart. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at your heart. But now let's get back to godliness is an inward desire to please Him. And it starts with the heart. It starts with the heart. And it starts with this deep desire. Starts with the heart. Starts with my heart with this deep desire to please Him. Okay, starts there. To the point where I just want to please God. How many of you sitting here just go, oh man, I just want to please God. I just want to please Him. Nobody raised their hand? Okay. All right. So today we're going to talk about how I do pleasing God. How I do pleasing God. All right, because, you know, when you walk around, oh, godliness, godliness, godliness. It's just like, shh. So we're going to talk about this. I'm going to read from John 6:38. If you want to look at that, otherwise I'm going fast. I'm reading through it. Okay, here we go. John 6:38. Jesus did this. I want to say, listen, God, my desire is to please Him first. But I want to tell you something. You know who did it first? Who did it first? Jesus did it first. In John 6:38, it says this, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. So in other words, Jesus is saying, I didn't come down to do my own dilly-dilly. I came down to do the will of my Father. And then in John 8:29, I'm going to read this in the NIV, John 8:29. This is Jesus. I always do what pleases Him. Okay. So, Jesus did it. Now, how many of you are followers of Jesus? All right. So if Jesus did it, Jesus had a relationship with the Father, and his desire, his deep desire, was to please God. Okay, so Jesus' deep desire. Yeah, thank you. All righty. Now, let me toss this one out because I can't say that sentence here. How many of you, someday when you die and you get to heaven, are going to say, oh, I always did what pleased God? How many of you would like to say that? I always did what pleased God. Well, you're not. I'm not. We're not. Okay? But my desire, my deep desire, is that I please him. All right? So, our deep, deep desire. Everybody say, I just want to please you, God. I just want to please you. I just want to please you, Father. Now, Jesus always wanted to please the Father. And then we got this Apostle Paul. And he wrote actually two-thirds of the New Testament. And he writes in the Galatians chapter 1 where he says this, above everything else, you're going to have to please God and not men. You're going to have to please God and not men. Now, I got news. There's a lot of time I just get caught up pleasing people. Pleasing, you know, if you've got a spouse, you're pleasing them, or you're pleasing your kids, or you're pleasing your friends. There's just times I get sucked into that, all right? So when it says this, you're going to have to please God and not man, I'm going, well, that's a little harder. Okay, it's a little harder than just reading it and saying it. Anybody find it's a little bit harder? Well, I do. But listen, God makes it easy. God makes it easy. Now, how many of you have done those big whopping puzzles? The 5,000, 1,000, whatever, puzzles. Okay, if you want the easy start, what do you grab? Corners! Okay, that's the easy start. God gives you an easy start on how to please him. You ready? Just desire. That's the corner piece. Just desire. You get up in the morning, you haven't even gotten your feet off the bed, and you go, God, I just desire today to please you, to love you. I thank you for this day, okay? Now that makes it easy on who you're going to try to please. If you start with just the corner piece, I just desire to please you. So everybody say, I just want to please you. I just want to please you, God. Man. Okay. So, now, how many of you know, do not point fingers, people pleasers? Don't raise your hand if you're one of them. I happen to know this one people pleaser person. And you know what people pleaser persons do? They try to please everybody. And this particular young lady, in the midst of trying to please everybody, like she overcommits because you asked her and you asked her and you asked her and she doesn't want to say no to you. So they say yes, yes, yes. And then they don't show for you and you and they do this, a people pleaser. Okay, it's really hard. It's really hard to be a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. But God wants you to just desire to please him. And then it just gets better. Okay. So everybody again, I just want to please him. Oh. Now, the funny thing about that is, well, it's not funny. When you start doing that, there's going to be some people that get ticked at you. All right. So don't tell them, well, Pastor D said I can blow you off. No, I didn't say that. Okay. All right, so I'm just going to give you a warning, but just get to the point where you go, God, I just want to please you. Now, the secret is when you just please him, it rolls into everybody else. All right, so you don't tick them off, okay? You don't. All right. Can you turn over to Hebrews 11? Hebrews 11, 6. All right, Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. All right. Can we say that together? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Please him. All right. Now, back up. What's our definition for godliness? An inward desire to please. Yep. All right. And now the writer of Hebrews comes along and he says, what? Without faith, it's impossible to please him? Okay. Now, another way we could say that, though, is you need to have faith to please him. You need to have faith to please him. You get it. You need to have faith to please him. All right. Now, how many of you have grown up in this church? How many of you have heard Pastor Jack teach a bunch of sermons on faith? Listen, if I were to interview you, if you've been one of my kids, I taught faith downstairs. Sherry's teaching faith downstairs. You go into our bookstores, we got a zillion billion books on faith. How many of you have studied faith? How many of you know a smidgen of faith? Okay, now, we believe in faith in God in this church. We believe that you have to have faith and it's going to change things and life, all right? We believe in faith. Say faith, okay? Okay. But sometimes when you teach faith, there's these side effects. Have you ever gotten a prescription and they give that big printout a piece of paper and they say, take this pill 3 times a day, and then you go, read the side effects, okay? And you go, what? Okay, everybody say side effects. All right, now, some side effects I've seen when you teach faith. But listen, we believe in faith. We believe in faith, all right? But it's like this. You come to church here, or you come to a grow group at Bob and Dolores' house because they're teaching how to raise godly kids, okay? And Dave and Diane, they're teaching total forgiveness. And I forgot the rest of them. Okay, you come to these groups, and somebody comes charging in that door, or someone comes up, and they give a testimony of, like, wow, a testimony of what God did and faith in God. And you're like, wow, man, I must be no good. Look at them. They have faith. All right. Now, the problem with is when they got up, you only heard the highlight. How many of you watch sports Sunday after church? Don't care what team it is, it's how I take a nap, all right? And what's it, ESPN, that sports thing? And they'll pick this whopping, amazing athlete, and they tell you all the great things this athlete has done, all the records they've broke, right? You just heard the highlights, okay? And they forgot, no they didn't, they just didn't tell you the time, a million times they got knocked down, struck out, concussions, and missed a couple of seasons, okay? Because you only got the highlights, okay? Now, highlights. You only got the highlights. So when somebody comes up and they teach faith and you read this one scripture, or someone comes up and tells you, like, wow, do you know what happened in my life? I was believing God and this happened. You have just heard the highlights, okay? And you have not heard the 100 prayers before, or the 100 years before where nothing happened. You didn't see all the times where they just like, I quit. It's not working. You only heard the highlight, okay? Now, this lovely writer of Hebrews doesn't say this. Faith is you trying to be healed. Faith is you trying to have faith for finances. He doesn't say any of that. I'm so thankful too, okay? He says two things. Ready? So let's look at it again. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is. Write that down. I got so psyched this week. I'm like waiting for this. Okay, so number one, he tells you two things. The number one thing is you have to believe he is, God is. And the second one is believe that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I'll get to that later. But listen, the first thing, well, let me ask you this. What is believe he is? Believe God is. God is a rock. God is the trees. Is that what they're talking about? Believe God is? No, of course not. You're too smart. Okay. He is in the current situation you're going through. I'm believing he is my God. All right? That's believe he is. All right? Believe God is whatever you need right now. So I got news that changes throughout the day. Okay. So if I need healing, I'm believing God is my healer. If I've got really a struggle in my marriage, I'm believing God is able to come in and change this. If I've got kids that are far, 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 far away from God, I'm believing God knows where they are. He's sending laborers. He's stirring up the word that I planted in their hearts, and they're coming back. I believe God is. Okay, anybody believe in God is? All right. So Hebrews, thank you, writer. He didn't give me this whole thing. He just said, believe God is. Believe God is. Now, how about you're going through a situation right now? Right now. And it looks impossible. It looks really impossible. Everybody told you it's impossible. Okay? And even though it looks impossible, I believe God is. I believe God is for that situation. Faith. All right. Now, turn over to Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 20. Okay, when pages stop, I'm going to back up a little bit. I believe God is. Hebrews tells us faith is to believe God is. Now, the interesting thing about that, put up two fingers, there's two sides. There's the God side, and there's your side. There's the God side to this, and there's your side. All right. I believe God is. So, such as Matthew 17:20, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Okay, now, the God side, the man side. The God side, a few minutes before, we said, God said, nothing is impossible. That's the God side. And then it's the your side. And you have to believe God is. And then that scripture, believe that when I say unto the mountain, because Jesus said this, say to the mountain, be thou removed, da, da, da. That's my side. What's God's side? What he said. All right? So you can't just, all right, never mind. I'm going to go someplace else. Stop it. Okay, so Jesus said that, and I believe what Jesus said. How many of you believe what Jesus said? All right, so we got the God side and the Jesus side. So he's saying, you believe he is. That's your side of it. You believe that he is. You believe that he is, all right? Now, so in the current situation I'm in that looks totally impossible, what do we have to do? Believe that he is. He is. He can fix my impossible situation. That's my side. All right? His side. All right? Now, turn over to Hebrews 4. Okay. Hebrews 4. I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. Okay. So, but if you want to open up your Bibles and read along. The Message Bible is when I don't want to, a lot of times when I read the Message Bible, it gets to the point in a language that's today, all right? And sometimes I'll get all these Bibles out and I'm pressing my apps and having fun, and then I go to the Message Bible. And this just wrapped it up, put the bow on it, and it was just perfect. So that's why I chose this today. Okay, I'm reading out of Hebrews 4:14. Now that we know that we have Jesus. Now say that with me. Now that we know, take a big pause. Okay, what do we know? We have Jesus. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Now that we know we have Jesus. Okay. Now that I know I have Jesus. Man, don't you feel better? I know we're not going by goosebumps, but when I know I have Jesus, okay, I can believe he is. That's good, all right? Now, how about you have a problem? You got a problem, and it really looks bad. Everybody's freaking out in the family, all right? But wait a minute. Now that I know I have Jesus, and Jesus paid the price, he finished the work, he brought me the victory, I'm not going to flake out, quit, go splat. I'm going to walk, keep walking with him. Now that we know we have Jesus, okay? Isn't that a good version? Man, I just, okay, preach myself happy. Hallelujah. Okay, finishing it. Now that we know we have Jesus, this great high priest, with ready access to God, let us not slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weaknesses and testings, experienced it all. But all but the sin. He didn't sin. So let us walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. All right, now. How many of you know people that they got a big mess in their life, and you have this great compassion, you go up to them and say, hey, listen, can I help you out? And they go, no. I'm sorry, but that's kind of pride, right? So you have this person that you know, and they're going through something in life, and you know you can help them out, and you go, hey, Dina, can I help you out? And they go, no, get out of here. Dina would never say it like that. She's too sweet, okay? But listen, how many of you know that God uses people to help you out? Yes. Money didn't fall from skies. He uses people to give you money, all right? God uses people to help you out. So God's going to use people to help you out, and God sends another person to help you out. God sends another person to help you out, and you go, no, you're dumb. That's pride, all right? Now, read this Hebrews again, this last part. So let's walk right up to him and get what he's so ready to give you. Take the mercy and accept the help. Can you see him? Come on, watch him. You got to see this. Let's walk right up to him and get what he's so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. So God's saying, hey, listen, I'm ready to give this. Would you just take it, take the mercy, accept the help? Is that what you're seeing? That's pretty simple, all right? Now, how many know what mercy is? Mercy. I used to think I'd wear the prayer out. Okay? Mercy is when you do something bad, wrong, mess up, and screw up. All right? And you deserve to pay a penalty for what you did bad, wrong, screw up, mess up. And he gives you mercy. You don't have to pay. So that's mercy. That was like one of my first prayers I taught my kids. Just pray the mercy prayer. And then they're little and they're ready to get their behind spanked. Mercy, mercy, mercy! I was like, no. That don't work there. Okay. Now, mercy in the Old Testament, everybody know the Old Testament? There's this thing called the mercy seat. And the high priest, once a year, would go slaughter a bunch of animals, take the blood, put it on the mercy seat to cover their sins for a year. But Jesus became our mercy seat. And he didn't cover our sins for the year. He took sin forever, all right? So, again, let's walk right up to him. Get what he's so ready to give. Take the mercy. Accept the help. Now, so when you come to God and you say, and you do some mess up, okay, you do something wrong, you come up to God and you say, God, I'm sorry. But I'm taking your mercy. I'm accepting your help. You know, isn't that wonderful? That's the love of the Father. That's the love that Jesus has. Okay, now, again, a lot of other people are going to say, oh, you did that again? I can't believe you call yourself a Christian. You did that again? I'm going right up and I'm going to take the mercy. You know, first, by the way, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to take the mercy and accept the help. All right? Hallelujah. Now, we're still talking about godliness. Okay? And we have to believe that he is. Okay? So we're talking about believing that he is. How about we believe that we can get help? That's believing he is. I believe he is, and he has help for me. He has mercy for me. I go to bed really sweet at night. I don't go through all the things I goofed up. If that's me, I just go, mercy, I accept. All right, I take the help. All right, now. The word help, if you look it up, means to, object lesson, here we go. What is this? Okay. This, the word help means to throw a person a rope and help pull them out. To throw someone a rope and the ropes to help pull them out. Anybody got a problem in their life? Anybody need a rope to help pull you out? Anybody have a situation that you can't fix and you need a rope? Okay, that's help. Okay, now, he said, come to the throne of grace that you might find help to pull you out. Okay, just close your eyes. Don't fall asleep. Pinch him. I'm going to my Heavenly Father, and I am going to take hold of that rope, and I believe he is, and I'm taking hold of it, and he's going to pull me out. Okay, now, I got to move along because, look what time it is. Okay, Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. I'm going to go back to this, 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Okay, how am I going to please God? One, I have to believe that he is. He is. He is. He's my everything. He is the guy that pulls me out. Okay, I'm going to believe that. And then the next thing, he rewards when I seek him. Now, reward means payday. Everybody like payday? Okay, now this doesn't mean money, but sometimes it could. But reward means payday. So when you go and you seek God, there's a payday. There's a reward. When you, okay, godliness is an inward desire to please him, to seek him. When you seek him, there's a reward. Okay, now, sometimes we think, oh, well, then money and da-da-da-da-da. You know, sometimes one of my best payday rewards for getting up early in the morning, I'll rise and I will seek you. My best is I feel like I got washed. I feel like I got strengthened. And that's my reward. Some, you know, don't think of all these tangible things, though they are, they come, I'm believing, okay? But the payday, there's a payday if you seek him. There's a payday, there's a reward when we seek God. Now, do I go seeking for the reward? Oh, you're too smart for that. But am I going to, the reward, I'm still going to seek him, and there is a reward. I'm going to seek him, okay? Because that's what pleases him. I'm going to seek him, and there's a reward. I love rewards. All right. Now listen, Jesus had a little tiny thought about that. Turn over to Matthew 6:38. Matthew 6:38. The Amplified says, but seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom, his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you beside. Okay, so we know that seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and they'll be added a little. Okay, but amplify better. But seek first, right? His kingdom, his righteousness, and then all these things are going to be added, all right? Whoa, all right. So we're talking about seeking God. We're talking about seeking him above everything else. I just want to seek you. I just want to please you, God. I just want to please you. I just want to seek you. I just want to please you. Okay. So number one, we have to believe that he. And number two, we seek him diligently. I like that word. Let me thought. Diligently. And he rewards because he loves you. Man. All right. Now, how am I going to do this? Okay. Wrapping up. Here we go. I'm going to close. I believe there's two things that God is looking for in my heart when I seek him. I believe there's two things God's looking for in your heart when you seek to please him. Real simple. There's two things. Number one, he wants me to love him with my whole heart. Write that down. Love him with my whole heart. That's what he's looking for. Do you love me with your whole heart? Okay? Now, have you ever, just think, have you ever had something that you love more than God? I'm going to be honest. There have been times I've had some stuff, some thing in my life that I loved more than God. Pastor Nee, you're the pastor? Yep, I am. And I'm just like you. Because stuff sometimes gets in and we get this seek ye first and we got some stuff going along. All right? And you know when I finally figured out, I just make a switch. Ooh, man, I got to switch that and keep this first. Okay? I have seen time and time again where people put kids first. I'm past that one. I want to seek him first, okay? I want to seek him with all my heart. Okay, so life's crazy and busy, and we get stuff. And we just start, and I'm telling you, it never happens fast. It's this slow, slippery slope. You know, and we start switching out. Instead of, God, you're first. I love you with all my heart. You're first. You're first on my brain. You're last on my brain. Okay, you're first, okay? Now, the second thing God's looking for us. Okay, now some of you are going to go, I don't like that one. But let me explain. The fear of God. John Bevere did an incredible series years ago. I think I still have the CDs or DVDs series. You can borrow it. But let me just say, fear of God is not something scary. And yet, I've heard, and I have not, but I have heard, you know, certain pastors go, oh, you have to, you're a sinner, you're going to burn. You need to go, you know, meet Jesus. Dolores tells me about Baptist ministers, okay? And there's a lot of other ones who do that, right? And they put fear. That's not the fear of God that we're talking about. That is not. Because then the Bible says, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Now, you may get a few that get so fearful, but man, I came to the Lord Jesus Christ because of his goodness. And I had this big wound and emptiness and hopelessness. Let me tell you, my life was hopeless. And the goodness of God drew me there. And I've never regretted the day that the goodness of God, I encountered that and he came into my life. So it's goodness, okay? So what is the fear of the Lord? Vine says, not a mere fear of his power or his righteous retribution. Listen, Jesus paid the price. That's already taken care of, okay? But this is what it is. A wholesome. What was that commercial for some bread? Some wholesome bread? I don't know. What was it? Wholesome bread. All right. This is some wholesome bread. You have a wholesome, actually, dread of displeasing him. There's a wholesome one where you just go, God, I fear you. I don't want to ever displease you. I fear you. I don't want to displease you. Okay, now it's not a condemning thing. It's actually a freeing thing. I want to please you. I want to please you. So godliness, what's our definition? An inward desire to please him. All right. Listen, there's all sorts of things that can get in the way of you loving the Lord with your whole heart, with pleasing Him. You can get job in the way. You can get people in the way. You can get school in the way. You can get money can get in the way of you loving God with all your heart and pleasing Him. And you know, if you do, if you do, you just simply go, and by the way, you can make the adjustment. I love to tell you how to do it, but you have to make the adjustment. So when I get things in the way from loving God, God, I just love you with all my heart, okay, with all my mind, with all my soul, I just love you. When I get things in the way, I go, adjustment, wow, man, I got things all off track, and I go, God, forgive me, and I love you with all my heart. I just want to please you in Jesus' name, okay, now. Let's pray. Let's wrap up here. If you're here, hey, can we do a little keyboard? Where's my worship team? Come on. Come on. Okay. That like that bless the Lord. We're going to sing that in a minute. Okay. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you don't know His mercy, today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. And it says, harden not your heart. That means come on and get it. If you'd like to receive this mercy, this help in your life, you just raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. If you're here today and you know God, but you've just kind of slipped away, you've just put Him on that back burner, and you're going, oh, man, I want Him back in my life. Matter of fact, I want to get back into His life. You raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Or if you're here and you go, Pastor D, man, I have switched things up. I want to pray for you. We're just going to switch it up, all right? So here we go. Father God, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, today's the day of salvation. If there's anybody here and you'd say, I want to know you. I want to love you. I want to please you. I want you because I'm just plumb tired. Today, you just simply say, Jesus, I accept you. I accept your mercy. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And that's it. And He'll do the rest. Amen. And if you've been like me where you've gotten some things that you've loved more and you've forgotten to seek and desire Him first, just simply say, Father, I'm sorry. You see my heart's sorry. Thank you for forgiving me. I thank you that I am in the new, great, right place. And I love you. I seek you. I desire to please you. And I thank you that you are a rewarder. And my life, blessings are in my life. They're attached to my life because you see my heart. And I desire to please you. I thank you for the blessings that are overtaking my life. I thank you that I believe you are, and you're helping my life, and you're the answer to my life. In Jesus' name, amen. How about we're just going to sing and worship, and then we'll see what God has here. Why don't we just stand? You've been sitting. Let's stand. If you'd like to do the cat thing, stand, kneel.
It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Oh, strength is failing. The end draws near and my time it has come. Still my soul would sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never. Worship your holy name. Sing it.
We love you. We seek you. We thank you that you reward us. And the best reward is you love us. I thank you. You all are blessed. If anybody would like prayer, I have elders that will come up. I'll pray with you. You guys, go bless people today. Amen? All right. We love you.